1, 2, 3. All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here. I'm back with another video. This is the Games and Rants and Articles show. I think we're just gonna fucking combine them all at this point. And I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
Okay, now, we do have some sad news at first. First thing I want to talk about is the fact that, of course, Ken Jennings has been doxxed. They basically caused him to lose his job working in therapy and were basically trying to raise money. So far, it's going very well. Ken Jennings has a GoFundMe. I will link to the GoFundMe. Please, please, please donate whatever small amount you can. It helps. He's doing very well, and they won't let him have the $10,000 goal unless it reaches that. And he needs that money because this man, he is probably one of the best therapists I've ever talked with. You know, he did more for me than most therapists that I've actually paid for. So definitely give this man some support. He was only doing, like, if you guys are familiar with Nick Rakita and what he's been doing on his channel, you know, basically defending the fact that, you know, Ken did nothing wrong. He even abided by the rules of the fake-ass DMCA that he was sent. He said, "I didn't have to, but I wanted to. Just, you know, just to be kosher, just so that no bullshit happened." So he didn't discuss anything about the Sophie Long case that had to do with this DMCA. He said, "I won't discuss these documents," even though technically this is not a real DMCA. It was fake as hell. Nick looked at it. Being a lawyer, he has information in that. And he just decided to, you know, abide it anyway. And the Karen still got to him. And I guess they've been fighting with Nick. I haven't caught up with the shows lately. I saw that first one where Nick was just fiery at this one Fatty Catty or whatever the hell her name was. But, oh yeah. It's a bad situation. A bunch of fucking Karens caused this man to get lose his job. And, I mean, they even tried to...
They caused him to lose his job?
Because he was... They said that he was basically interfering with, like, a case of a minor. All he was doing was a psychological examination of the Sophie Long case based on the documents he obtained from court. That's all he was doing. And, unfortunately, it was too much for these people. So,
I mean, was anyone underage? And was it?
Sophie Long is a young girl. She's a minor child, and of course that is Ken's prime. That's what he does. He is a child therapist mainly. Yeah. So that's
well,
what he works with.
I didn't know how public y'all make.
Yes, it's very, very public.
Because if it's a minor, you're really not supposed to bring up their name. And
it's a public court case. It's a little different. Obviously, they're sealed documents, and I think Nick may or may not have gone over those documents. I'm not really sure, but he was doing it kind of, I guess, just to spite, because this is getting really, really bad. They were basically exploiting this minor. And I'm not talking about Ken. I'm talking about the Karens. They're exploiting this minor for their own personal gain. That's what Nick was upset about. And they said, you know, you're going to come back in 10 years and you're going to say, why was I even worried about this child so much? I didn't have nothing else to worry about in my life. So I decided to get involved with this child. And that's why they called them the Baron Karens, because they obviously don't have any kids. So they're getting involved in this other kid's case because they're trying to make it like it's their daughter, even though it's not. And it doesn't have anything to do with them.
They don't even care about the kid. It's the fact that they can start some shit with somebody.
That's true, too. That's a good point.
Honestly, you got to think of something like, when you watch the news and hear someone got shot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's sad, but you don't think, oh, shit, I'm so heartbroken, or I have to do something for this kid. You know, you're like, oh, thank God it wasn't my family, or, you know, just relieved that it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
But they want to take it and make it their own cause.
And
just, which really isn't their cause, just kind of bullshit.
And we also have other ways to reach Kanami. Now, he wants you to use his GoFundMe, which, again, I will have linked. But he also has the locals. So make sure that you check out Ken's Counseling Couch on Locals. And help him out there if you can. Anything you can donate to the man helps. I donated. I would really appreciate if you guys do the same. This is a guy that's very...
Does he not have his own practice?
No. It's very, very difficult to do that. He's still... He has a license for therapy, but he was trying to go for, you know, other things. So he's still kind of studying here and there. But no, he doesn't have his own practice. And he's hoping he could even get his job back. But if not, you know, the money is just supposed to help him until he can get something going. And ideally, we would love to see him get his own practice. But it's very difficult to do. That's not an easy thing to get your own practice.
I don't know. It seems like I've seen people do it at... I don't know what it entails, but when I was growing up, it seemed like a lot of people...
Things are a little different now, man.
Well, I know... I was with social therapist or what it, I can't, occupational therapist.
Yeah.
There's a place in about an hour from here that I went to.
Yeah.
That was a whole clinic. At the owner of the facility was the doctor that prescribed the medication, and then the rest of the staff were the therapists.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was...
All right.
So, he treated, you know, the doctor treated the diagnosis, but the therapist did, you know, what they do.
Right. Well, all right. And one more thing we have to talk about. We actually have two. The last one's really small, though. Unfortunately, Well, this is always a good thing. I held an open mic night last night, which was good. Because, I mean, I'm still going through car issues. Again, it's a mountain I'm going to climb. We're just dealing with it the way it is. It's still at the shop. Hopefully, it'll get fixed and repaired. Other than that...
Hadn't tried Uber
yet. They don't have them in this area.
They did. You know what happened the first week they had them here?
I didn't know that.
Someone got stabbed. I don't remember if it was the driver that stabbed the passenger or vice versa.
Well, I don't really know about that situation, but, you know, as of right now, we're just playing it by ear. Hopefully it'll be fixed on Monday. They don't work on Sunday, but they work on Monday, and we'll definitely try to get some information on that. Hopefully things will work out. Anyway, other than that, I was doing an open mic night, and Whiplash unfortunately lost his father. It was over. I mean, I'm not gonna go too into detail, but that's a really hard thing. He had to attend the funeral, and our thoughts and prayers are good energy, whatever you guys do, like. We're gonna just, you know, have to. We're thinking about him, you know, because he's a good guy. He brings a lot of good conversation to the table, especially during the open mic nights. He has a lot of good commentary when it comes to, you know, just anything.
Oh, yeah.
Dude really knows a lot about stuff. He was educating us all on Robin last night. Different Robins that Batman has had.
One they killed off.
Well, he really likes the Red Hood. Now, he's very angry about a few things. I'm not going to get into that situation. But again, you know, he's lost somebody. He's really hurting right now. So, you know, let's just, you know, think about him, you know, as we should. And of course, he said, you know, his father's in paradise. He says, I'm not worried about my father anymore. He's in paradise.
Yeah.
But, he does believe that there may have been some circumstances which resulted in a bit of a unexpected Yeah, no, premature death is what he was saying. There were maybe some hospital staff that might need to be put on the wall, something like that. Anyway, it's a sad thing. It sucks. I don't like doctors in hospitals that much for this reason, but it is what it is, and we're here for him. So once again,
the other day, one of my friends that used to let us come up to up north to hunt,
mm-hmm.
and camp out in their cabin, passed away. He was definitely much older. He looked like the original Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard. He's in the Korean War. He's much older.
Yeah.
But
I believe
it might have been COVID.
I believe
that would have been the first death involving COVID or anyone I'd known that had it.
Now I believe that Whiplash said his father was like nearly 60.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it was a lot of different things going on with him. And then, he had a type of cancer that they were working on to remove. It's a very deep situation. Anyway, again, our thoughts and prayers and energy, whatever you want to do, go out with him right now. So, we're thinking about you, Whiplash, and hopefully things get a little better for you. It hurts to lose a loved one. It really does. I got one more. This is a lighthearted announcement, and then we're done with housekeeping. The last thing I have to talk about is, of course, because I haven't done it in a while, make sure to go check out spinningrobotpussy.com for your spinning robot, vagina that, Revy has made. He sent me a prototype to see if I could fit it. Now, of course, that wasn't working. So, it is what it is. But if you are under 6.6 inches in girth, you will find it very... 6.5. If you're under 6.5 inches in girth, you will find it very pleasing.
What about if you're over?
You can't.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't go any higher than 6.5 inches in girth because most men are not built that way.
You could stick as much of it as you can get in.
Most men are not built that way. The majority of men are not built like that. So, that's one thing. I mean, he made it. He's like, 6.5 is a really high measurement, he said. So, basically, if you've got that going on, you're not going to be able to fit it. But for most guys, it'll work, and it is, I think it goes 4,800 RPM, which is really fucking fast. So, give that a try if it's something you're into, because the prototypes,
write down the address, or I'm going to have to look it up, because I think I've tried looking it up. Not too long ago, and I couldn't.
It should be www.spinningrobotpussy.com.
Maybe that's what. Let me try that while we're.
Yeah, try that and make sure it works. That way, that the people I'm talking to here will know it works as well. And then I promise we will get on with all the articles we have, which are actually going to be so much. I'll be splitting this into two shows, like I planned to last time. Also, hey, since I'm here, I might as well talk about the fact that I will be going back to Days eventually. That shouldn't change the shows, though. It just means that I'll have more time at night to do open mic and videos like I did recently with my response to Sandman. By the way, thanks to everybody that watched that video. It did very well. And I'm glad you guys liked it. And even if you didn't completely agree with me 100% on the point... I respect that you guys checked it out and heard my opinion on what he had to say.
Well, it popped up this time.
Okay. Well, so spinningrobotpussy.com does work. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and get into our first article of many.
All right.
Now, the first one is actually, let's see. Okay, that's okay. Just a bunch of stuff in the... Okay, that's not important. Let's go into the article repository. Now, we have to cover this one first because it's going to be something you're more familiar with, and I think you're going to have a lot to say about this.
All right.
Okay. This is from FoxNews.com.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this is a good article.
I know. We're going to...
It was... Representative Ronny Jackson, ex-White House doctor, predicts that Biden will be forced to resign. Jackson said that Biden needs a cognitive exam, the results of which should be made public. Representative Ronny Jackson, the former White House physician turned congressman, said he's terrified for our country in the wake of President Joe Biden's televised town hall this week, which I have not seen.
I've seen some highlights of it, and he sounds... crazy.
Didn't he say that he was, like, not Satan reincarnated?
Satan's smarter than this man. I'm sorry. You know, in the Bible, Satan's known as being slick.
Yeah.
You know, not senile and doesn't know what year it is. Here, I'm about to...
Don't play it, because we might not have the rights to it. But, okay. Yeah.
But, I'll show you later. But...
Anyway,
He sounds crazy. They ask him a question about, I think there's a personnel on stage, and he's like, oh, you got the vaccine? Are you all right? And so that already throws you off because they're all pushing you to get this vaccine. And he's asking them, like, is something wrong with you? Or you survived? You know? So that already doesn't sound reassuring for anybody.
Wow.
It was like, maybe I will get vaccinated. Fuck that! Did you hear them?
Wow.
But, and then he starts talking on some ramble about, say your kids want to know about the man on the moon, or if there's aliens, and then they can get on there with a group, and, like, he's not referring to anything in particular, what group, what anything, he just talks about man on the moon, aliens, and it's like a fucking ramble that makes no fucking sense, and I'm like, how in the fuck has nobody...
This is the man we didn't vote for.
Yeah, nobody kicked him out of office yet.
Okay.
I'm surprised Kamala hadn't made a power move. Of course, she already knows how many people dislike her. So she's like, fuck this. I'm going to play it safe.
And doubts whether the commander-in-chief has the cognitive ability to make it through a full term. He's completely lost it. Jackson, R-Texas, tweeted Saturday along with a video clip in which Biden answers a reporter's question about defunding the police by claiming that the Republicans accuse him of sucking the blood out of kids.
Oh, he sucks more than that, Allie.
Needs a cognitive exam now, Jackson posted. In Biden's performance on CNN Wednesday night, widely mocked by conservatives on social media, he made false assertions about the efficacy of COVID vaccines, talked about helping children find out whether there's a man on the moon or whether those aliens are here or not.
There you go.
And confused some in the audience with references to obscure conspiracy theories. I mean, QAnon, the idea that Democrats or that Biden is hiding people and sucking the blood of children, and no, I'm serious, he said. Earlier this month, Biden was forced to rely on notes to answer a reporter's question at a Michigan pie shop. This is a national security issue at this point, Jackson told Fox News host Sean Hannity on Thursday. I think he's either going to resign, they're going to convince him to resign from office at some point in the near future for medical issues, or they're going to have to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of this man, Jackson said. Last month, Jackson, who served as the physical physician of both Obama and Trump, joined a dozen Republican House members in a letter calling on Biden to take a cognitive function test, as Trump did while he was in office, and publicly released the results. The American people deserve full transparency on the mental capabilities of their highest elected leader, the Republicans wrote.
Yeah.
I've been saying it's only going to get worse, Jackson said Thursday on Fox News, and guess what? We're watching that happen right before our eyes right now.
I mean, honestly, they do need to pass a bill or a law saying that that would be something that every president should do, because that's the difference between a dictator taking over and a regular person that you hired to do the job. You know, say a company hired someone and then they don't find out till later they're senile. Are they going to keep him on, or are they going to fire his ass before he takes them down with him? They're going to fire his ass.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, then that, and I don't think that would be taken away from any rights. And once you become president, you're the people's, not property, but you're definitely their investment, so they want the most out of their investment.
Now, there is something very interesting. There's a few articles here I've got to cover. Let's see. Here's one. This is SciTech Daily. Now, patient case strongly suggests link between Pfizer COVID vaccine and Bell's palsy. July 19th, actually. Yeah. This patient experienced facial palsy after each dose of the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine. The case of a patient who experienced two facial palsies, one after the first and another after the second dose of the vaccine, strongly suggests that Bell's palsy, a facial nerve palsy of unknown cause, is linked to the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine. Now, BioNTech, I researched them. They're a new pharmaceutical company out of Germany. Yeah. Doctors write in the journal BMJ Case Reports. They describe the first case to be reported in the medical literature of two separate unilateral facial nerve palsies, where muscles on one side of the face become weak or paralyzed, occurring shortly after each dose of the vaccine. The occurrence of the episodes immediately after each vaccine dose strongly suggests that Bell's palsy was attributed to the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, although a causal relationship cannot be established. Single episodes of the unilateral facial nerve palsies were reported in the initial clinical trials of three major vaccines, which is the Pfizer, Moderna, and Oxford AstraZeneca, and there have been subsequent case reports. In phase three trials, four cases of facial palsy with unknown cause were reported in volunteers who received the BioNTech mRNA vaccine, compared with none in those who received the placebo vaccine. Well, duh, it's a placebo. And three cases were reported in volunteers who received the Moderna mRNA vaccine, compared with one in the placebo group. Three cases of facial nerve palsy were also reported in volunteers who received the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine during clinical trials, and there were three cases in volunteers who received the placebo vaccine. Now that is interesting.
Yeah.
There's three cases in people that received a fake vaccine too, so This case report describes a 61-year-old Caucasian man with no previous history of a facial nerve palsy who experienced an episode on the right side of his face 5 hours after receiving the first dose of the vaccine, and more severe episode on the left side after receiving the second dose. He had a high BMI. He had high blood pressure. He had high cholesterol and type 2 diabetes. Both doses of the vaccine were administered on his left arm. The patient attended the emergency department after the first episode, unable to close his left eye properly, moved the left side of his forehead, and was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. Routine bloods and a CT head scan showed nothing of the concern, and he was discharged with a course of steroids, and the facial nerve palsy completely resolved. The patient received the second dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine 6 weeks after the first and developed a more severe left-sided facial nerve palsy 2 days later. The symptoms included dribbling, difficulty swallowing, and inability to fully close his left eye. He went to the emergency department, where he was again prescribed a course of steroids. He was also referred to the ENTs, which continued the steroids, and referred him to ophthalmology. The authors report that his symptoms have improved and the patient is almost back to normal. He's been advised to discuss future vaccines with the GP on a case-by-case basis. Basis taking account risk versus benefit of having each vaccine. It says Bell's palsy is believed to be related to facial nerve inflammation and swelling due to buildup of fluid caused by a virus. Huh. In 04, the inactivated intranasal influenza vaccine was shown to significantly increase the risk of Bell's palsy and was discontinued.
You remember Angelina Jolie had Bell's palsy.
I did not know that.
Not too long ago, it's a couple of years ago.
Increased incidence of Bell's palsy has also been seen following administration of other influenza and meningococcal vaccines, though a causal link has not been established. Although most cases of Bell's palsy spontaneously recover with time, the symptoms can cause significant temporary disability affecting facial expression and ability to eat and drink. Risk factors include diabetes, obesity, hypertension, pregnancy, pre-eclampsia, and upper respiratory disease. And the source on that is SciTech Daily. So that is one there. Okay, here's another one that I found very interesting. Funny that Yahoo's reporting on it. But this is an interesting one. As many as 200... This is NBC News. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this is pretty deep shit. As many as 200 Americans have reported possible symptoms of Havana syndrome. As many as 200 Americans have come forward to describe possible symptoms of directed energy attacks. Much like shit that conspiracy people. There's even a Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory episode where they talked about these kind of directed energy attacks by the government. Now, NBC News is corroborating these attacks. That's kind of frightening.
Directed energy.
Part of a wave of fresh reports that includes newly identified incidents around the world, Western officials say. A U.S. official with knowledge of new potential cases of so-called Havana syndrome said a steady drumbeat of cables has been coming in from overseas posts reporting new incidents often multiple times each week. A recent and previously unreported incident in Berlin cut short as at least one diplomat's term in Germany, U.S. officials and others briefed about the matter said. Another person who was briefed this month about recent incidents said it is global, but there seems to be an awful lot going on in Europe. Officials with direct knowledge said that there are now possible cases on every continent except Antarctica. In the past year, officials said more than one American in Central Asian country of Kyrgyzstan has experienced symptoms, including a baby. Almost half of the possible cases involve CIA officers or two of their relatives, two officials said. While about 60 involved Defense Department employees or relatives, or around 50 were linked to the State Department. A number of FBI agents and personnel, both current and former, have come forward after having experienced symptoms while overseas, especially in Europe and Central Asia, sources said. Several FBI employees reported to officials saying that they were hit in Vienna, including some possible cases dating back more than a decade. In a statement, an FBI spokesperson said, in keeping with the DOJ policy, the FBI can neither confirm nor deny the existence of specific investigations. However, we will direct you to recent statements made by Director Wray in testimony before Congress, where he underscored the protection, health, and well-being of U.S. government personnel is the highest priority. We view all U.S. government personnel who have these symptoms as potential victims and will treat them as such, and we care deeply about our colleagues in the federal government. A Defense Department spokesman said the department is heavily engaged on this issue and is part of the National Security Council-led interagency process across the federal government to address anomalous health incidents and is fully committed to determining both the causes and the source. The safety, health, and welfare of our personnel remains top priority for the department. Biden administration officials said government employees were encouraged to come forward if they had experienced symptoms and cautioned that not all people who have done so will end up being considered Havana syndrome cases. A senior administration official said, in certain cases, these incidents have upended the lives of U.S. personnel who have devoted their careers to serving our country. Our government recognizes how important it is to make sure they get the care they deserve and that we get to the bottom of this as quickly as possible. In Vienna, officials say that at least one American was sent home because of the severity of his symptoms. The New Yorker was the first to report as many as 24 cases in Vienna. When it comes to Vienna, in coordination with our interagency partners, we are vigorously investigating reports of possible unexplained health incidents among the U.S. Embassy community there, and we're also doing that whenever these incidents are recorded, State Department spokesman Ned Price told reporters Monday. U.S. officials have said they do not know what explains the mysterious neurological symptoms first experienced by U.S. diplomats in Cuba. And in public, they avoid using the word attack in favor of anomalous health incidents. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine said in a report last year that some of the observed brain injuries were consistent with the effects of directed microwave energy, which the report said Russia has long studied. Oh, of course they're going to try to blame it on Russia.
Yeah.
NBC News reported in 2018 that U.S. intelligence officials considered Russia a leading suspect in what some of them assessed to have been deliberate attacks on diplomats and CIA officers overseas. But there was not, and is not now, conclusive intelligence pointing in that direction. Keep that in mind, folks. Multiple officials who have been briefed about the matter said. U.S. officials have said privately that they suspect Russia may be using a microwave energy device either to secretly gather digital data or to intentionally injure U.S. officials in a campaign of harassment, which Russia, of course, denies. A team of medical and scientific experts who studied the symptoms of as many as 40 State Department and other government employees concluded that nothing like them had previously been documented in medical literature, according to National Academies of Sciences report. Many reported hearing a loud sound and feeling pressure in their heads. And then they experienced dizziness, unsteady gait, and visual disturbances. Many suffered long-standing debilitating effects. Former CIA officer Mark Polyarompere, whatever the guy's name is, believes he was hit during a trip to Moscow in 2017 and said what has happened is a mass causality event. CIA Director William Burns has ordered a significant intelligence gathering effort to determine the cause of the incidents, and he has pledged that employees who report them be taken seriously and given treatment. Director Burns is personally engaged with personnel affected by anomalous health incidents and is highly committed to the care and determining the cause of his incidents, a CIA spokesperson said. An intelligence official said the intelligence community has convened a panel of experts from across the U.S. government and private sector to work collectively to increase understanding of the possible mechanisms that are causing these anomalous health incidents. State Department also has a panel of medical and scientific experts examining the cases, and like the CIA panel, its members have access to relevant classified information. But some U.S. government workers who have reported worrisome incidents in Western Europe to their superiors in State Department have been met with skepticism and disbelief. Three people with knowledge of the situation said. In one case this year that has been widely discussed among U.S. diplomats, a worker reported a potential incident in Europe but was brushed off, told that they were serving in a low-risk region where it is unlikely that U.S. operatives would be targeted. Some cases that appeared to at first be part of the cohort of Havana Syndrome incidents were ruled out later. A group of U.S. troops in Syria reported symptoms after a Russian helicopter was seen hovering overhead, for example, but it was determined that the troops had come down with food poisoning. U.S. intelligence agencies have launched a significant effort to find new information. They are coming through data-seeking clues, including records of cell phone calls and geolocation data around the times and places of reported events, officials say. As NBC News and other news organizations have reported, the CIA used geolocation data to determine that Russian intelligence officers were near the scenes of some of the incidents, but that the finding is not considered conclusive, given that U.S. officials are often under surveillance. And it says, in a bid to centralize and improve care for U.S. workers who are injured, the government is working to ensure that they have access to military medical centers for excellence, where Senator Jeanne Shaheen has introduced legislation to get victims access to specialized medical care, including Walter Reed National Military Center. The government is considering selecting a prominent academic institution as a center for acute and chronic care for patients, three people with knowledge of the deliberation said. If selected, it would be the third academic institution the government has turned to for help after sending its workers to the University of Miami and then the University of Pennsylvania. Concerned that the incidents still unsolved more than 4 years after they came to light.
What's going on there?
Huh? Oh, no, it's fine. More than 4 years after they came to light may continue well into the future. Government agencies have refocused efforts on mitigation, finding ways to lower the risk to staffers, as well as detection to identify when an attack might be taking place. Working off the leading theory that pulsed microwaves affected people's brains, the State Department's Diplomatic Security Service has helped develop and deploy small physical detection devices in Cuba. And a handful of other posts, three people with the knowledge of the devices said they declined to describe them because many of the details remain classified. So that's a lot of shit going on. And I think that there is definitely, as Alex Jones and several other conspiracy theorists have stated, direct energy attacks.
Oh, yeah?
On, yeah. A lot of people have claimed that they have been affected by direct energy.
I mean, it's possible.
Absolutely. Okay, we didn't cover this, but we should. This is from NPR. We're not going to talk too much about this, but it's important. Just give it a minute. Okay. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has a trans model on the cover for the first time.
Yeah.
Model and actress Lena Bloom has become the first trans person to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuits issue, the magazine's most famous and perennially best-selling edition. I dedicate this cover to all ballroom femme queens past, present, and future, she wrote on Instagram. Many girls like us don't have the chance to live our dreams or to live long at all. I hope my cover empowers those who are struggling to be seen feel valued. The 27-year-old star turned on the Sports Illustrated cover is just the latest in a growing list of barriers she's broken since she came out in 2014. One of the first trans women to walk the runway at Paris Fashion Week, the first trans women of color to star in a film at the Cannes Film Festival, the first trans woman to grace the pages of Vogue India. This moment heals a lot of pain in the world. We deserve this moment. We waited millions of years to show up survivors and be seen as full humans filled with wonder, she tweeted. So, my God, look at that fucking chin. Holy shit. Like, she damn near passes until you see the chin. Look at that fucking chin.
Chin like a lion.
God damn.
You know, but honestly, what's so special about it if you're supposed to be a woman like everyone else? You know, honestly, the only thing special about it is you're a guy doing what a girl usually does.
And they said three women of color will appear on the cover this year. Bloom appears on one of three swimsuit covers this year, joining tennis star Naomi Osaka. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. She's a tennis star. It's Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And then we have this weird one. Rapper Megan Thee Stallion. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think Megan Thee Stallion has done any athletic feats in her entire life.
Oh, who's she?
Megan Thee Stallion is that other chick that appeared in the WAP video. Yeah, like, why would they literally put her on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Because
it's fucking clown world, folks.
Yeah, it's because they think it'll sell something.
And Bloom,
they're popular.
Bloom identifies as black and Filipina. Osaka is biracial with a Japanese mother and Haitian father. And Megan Thee Stallion is black. Well, I kind of would figure that by a name like Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. What was Mercedes Buick?
Oh, wow.
Already
yo, listen to this. Osaka and Megan Thee Stallion are making history as well. Osaka's the first black athlete. Okay, fine. Megan Thee Stallion is the first rapper to appear in the issue. Okay. I got a question. If Slipknot appears on the cover of Sports Illustrated, is it gonna be a big thing because they'll be the first heavy metal band to appear on Sports Illustrated? Is that what we're doing now? When are we gonna have Bill Gates or I don't know? We'll just put not Steve Jobs, but Jeff Bezos on the cover. The first entrepreneur billionaire to appear on the cover? Yeah. Okay. First of all, this is like going to Taco Bell, asking for tacos. Here's your pizza.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Last year, the magazine...
What about taco pizza?
Yeah, okay. Last year, the magazine featured a trans model, Valentina Sampaio, inside the issue for the first time. And Sports Illustrated featured Halima Adin, a Muslim model, alongside soccer star Megan Rapinoe, who was the first openly gay woman to appear.
Alright. So, usually Sports Illustrated has models, not necessarily athletes, but sometimes they do on the swimsuit.
But now they're having...
But, so, I mean, honestly, if they were doing it just like that way, having a rapper or something wouldn't be as big of a thing. But now if they're promoting it as a sports entertainment magazine,
which they're supposed to be, yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, swimsuit models aren't necessarily athletes, but that's been such a staple for so long. And guys don't get it to look at the brave men that cut their penises off.
Yeah, they don't.
Dress as women.
They don't.
Yeah, let's stop calling them transgenders and just call them confused men. Or women, depending on which one they try flip-flopping to. Because, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's the only thing that makes people want to say something is they used to have a penis. But they cut it off.
Okay. Alright, anyway.
So, the YouTube friendly, right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Alright.
Yeah, we don't really need to... Oh, and of course they're doing bans for trans athletes. We know about that. But...
You heard about the...
Putting a trans model on your fucking magazine isn't going to do anything about the trans athlete ban.
I don't know. You heard about those, dream makers, the Swiss, beating the shit out of our woke soccer team.
Yep.
I think it was meant to be. Because those Swiss girls, good night, they're gorgeous.
We will go into detail later about that one. Okay, here's one I'm going to have to talk about because it happened and not many people heard about it. That's because somebody foiled it. Police foiled an Ohio incel's plot to kill women in a mass shooting, prosecutors say. Federal prosecutors say is an incel. Well, they say he was an incel. I guess he seems to identify as one. You'll see what he has to say. I did look at this ahead of time. Was charged in federal court this week with attempting a hate crime for his plot to kill women. Tress Genko, which does not fucking sound like a white person's name at all,
that
by the way.
That sounds like a... saying Muslim is a hate thing, but...
21, was arrested Wednesday and is also facing charges related to illegally possessing a machine gun, according to the Justice Department.
Well, you can't do much damage with a woman with a regular gun. You gotta really get in there.
Okay, that's not gonna work for YouTube. Yeah. Well, that's a joke, Susan.
You can edit that.
Anyway, yeah, what am I saying? This isn't going to be on YouTube. Not this one. We don't put the games and rants show. We put the Grim Articles show on. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've probably said worse shit on that, so it's whatever. We'll just, with people...
I mean, I think they're looking for famous people.
Yeah, I think they are, too. Oh, by the way, I had some more upkeep. Drexel and Tim at the MGTOWN podcast, they got demonetized. Yep, Susan hit them up. So basically what you guys need to do while Drex prepares to bang Mama Susan and make things right, we basically have to make sure to do the Streamlabs. They're doing Streamlabs chats. So go ahead and do your Streamlabs and they will answer them on the air. And that helps the show out a lot because they're no longer going to be able to make money off AdSense because of some bullshit. Apparently, they don't like what Drexel was talking about or another guest or whatever. It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Prosecutors say Genko, identified as an incel or involuntary celibate, a community of mostly men who harbor anger towards women who they believe owe them sexual or romantic attention. Now, I like what they said here. Some incels seek to commit violence to support this belief. Now, keep in mind, they didn't say all incels or incels. They said some, because there's some people in the black pill community that are, I mean, they're depressed, but they're not going to go out and just, you know, take a whole bunch of people out. Oh, they have issues. They have mental things that need to be worked out. And I also like the fact that they said mostly men, which means that there are fem cells and fem cells do exist. And those things also happen. So NPR, which is usually pretty damn biased.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually kind of got this one right. Jenko's incident includes... Jenko's indictment includes startling detail of the months-long effort prosecutors say he took to plan a mass shooting and to purchase weapons and other equipment to fulfill that goal. According to the indictment reviewed by NPR, Jenko maintained a profile on popular incel website from at least July 2019 through mid-March 2020. He posted frequently on this site, it alleges. In his post, he expressed admiration for Elliot Rodger, and they're going to, of course, talk about who Elliot Rodger is, but we know. Genko wrote a manifesto. Of course he did! You know, this is what I don't get. Why do these incel guys have to write this big fucking manifesto every time they go out and do something?
It's the, they're like, hey, it's everybody, so look stupid. At me, so you
it's
can catch
really
me before
fucking
I do something.
Stupid. It's like, look at me, I'm gonna write this, you know. It's like, you got that much time to fucking write a manifesto.
People are gonna notice me before the crime.
No, that's so stupid. It's called A Hideous Symphony. By Trez Genko, the socially exiled incel. In it, he said he would slaughter women out of hatred, jealousy, and revenge, and called death the great equalizer. Investigations say they discovered another note, allegedly drafted by Genko. He said hoping to aim big for a kill count of 3,000 people. Oh, well, okay. Dude, this ain't fucking video game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't think...
Yeah, that's...
Now, I think that's a possibility, but it's not going to happen in a matter of days. That would be years and very random. Like, you couldn't...
Well, he was talking, like, at one time. Like, he was going to take out, like, 3,000... No, he'd be dead by then.
Yeah. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that anyone should go out on a killing spree.
Oh, yeah. From August through December 2019, he lived in Georgia to attend Army basic training. He was later discharged for entry-level performance and conduct, according to court documents. Which means he was fucking terrible anyway.
So he'd be like,
I'm going to take all these people out. And he doesn't hit the broadside. He can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Meanwhile,
it's like, it's one of those weird situations where the shooter,
I mean, the kid kills him.
Like, the shooter happens, but, like, it's one of those weird situations where all the bullets just whiz by people, and they're just like, did you feel something? I feel like a wind. No, I heard some sound, but...
A gust.
It's like, just a gust, and everybody's just continuing their stuff, and he's trying to shoot, and it's just not working. It's just like... He's like, but I wanted to take all these people out.
No,
and it's like, nope. It's like, because you fucking suck, dude.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that just shows how pathetic these incels are. I'm going to take out all these people. And then he goes, is like, he has like poor fucking entry level skills to begin with. Like, dude.
Now, I've never saw the point.
It's
being
so
mad at someone
stupid.
That doesn't even know I exist.
They're so stupid.
Like, killing someone just because he groups a whole group of people in one lump.
It's like that Japanese? It's like, you're so stupid!
So stupid!
Stupid! No, it was on, what was that? UHF, Weird Al's movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You're so stupid! I wish I could get a,
copy of it?
No, the clip. Get a clip of that. The Japanese man. Every time they get it wrong, he would yell at him.
You're so stupid!
It's like, once home, Genko drafted a document titled Isolated. And it, prosecutors said he wrote, if you're reading this, I've done something horrible. Somehow you've come across the writings of the deluded and the homicidal. He signed the document, your hopeful friend and murderer. Oh my god, this guy's like a supreme edgelord. 4 days later, prosecutors said Genko started surveillance on a nearby unidentified Ohio university. That same day, he also did an online search for planning a shooting crime That same day, he also did an online search for... Oh my god, so stupid. He did a search for planning a shooting crime, which is probably on Google.
You should never.
And then after that, he's like, when does preparing for crime become an attempt, prosecutors said. He got on the police radar on March 12, 2020, when an unnamed individual called for the Highland County Sheriff's Office for assistance, according to an affidavit. The unnamed caller said Jenko had locked himself in his bedroom and threatened the caller. The caller said they heard Jenko cock a gun from behind his bedroom door, according to court records. When police arrived at the home, the affidavit said, the unnamed caller told officers Jenko had become erratic and somewhat violent over the previous several months. They added that they had come across Genko's violent writings in his room, according to an affidavit. When police searched the trunk of his car, investigators discovered Genko's cache of weapons, which included a firearm with a bump stock attached. So, of course, they gotta note the bump stock. Several loaded magazines, body armor, and boxes of ammunition. They also found a Glock-style 9mm semi-automatic pistol with no manufacturer's marks or serial number hidden in the heating vent of his bedroom. Prosecutors say attempting to commit a hate crime is punishable by life in prison. One count of illegally possessing a machine gun is punishable by up to 10 years.
I mean, you can own one, but it's forms and...
Yeah.
All kind of, one of my friend's dad's owns a gun store, and he has the forms and shoots fully automatic weapons with tracer rounds and everything.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Israel and Ben and Jerry's, because I keep getting articles about this, and I'm gonna
boycott. Ben and Jerry's is refusing to send their product to Israel now.
Well, at least they know what I like. Well, Israel vows. No. If you guys are referring to that, a picture of my desktop or my menu just appeared, and a picture from my gallery also appeared, and it seems to show a cosplayer dressing as Chun-Li and kind of, I'm not sure if it's that Chinese one, the muscle one, but there was a picture of that appeared. But at least you guys know what I like now. Jerusalem. Israel's prime minister vowed, okay, I hope this isn't like a million pages, because I'm, no, it's not. Thank God. Oh, well, there's a read more, but I'm not fucking doing that this time. You guys are going to get the idea.
Well,
Israel's prime minister vowed Tuesday to act aggressively against the decision by Ben & Jerry's to stop selling its ice cream in Israel-occupied territories as the country's ambassador to the U.S. urged dozens of state governors to punish the company under anti-boycott laws. The strong reaction reflected concerns in Israel that the ice cream maker's decision could lead other companies to follow suit. It also appeared to set the stage for protracted public relations and legal battle. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's office said he spoke with Alan Joke, chief executive of Ben & Jerry's parent company Unilever, and raised concern about what he called a clearly anti-Israel step. He said the move would have serious consequences, legal and otherwise, and Israel will act aggressively against all boycott actions directed against its citizens. In Washington, State Department spokesman Ned Price declined to comment directly on the company's decision, but he said that the U.S. rejects the boycott movement against Israel, saying it unfairly singles out the country. So, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. And then we've got another one here. Biden's message, blacklist vaccine opposition. This is from a site called AmericaOutloud.com. I'm not familiar with them, so... And I don't even know if they're... Okay, they're gonna load. Your source for free speech, talk radio, podcasts, and news. Okay. This is by Dennis Santiago. Okay. Facebook is not killing people. That's what President Joe Biden had to say on Monday. July 19th, walking back an accusation he made on the previous week regarding Facebook's role in the raging argument against COVID-19 vaccinations. Reflecting the president's frustrations, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, whatever the fuck that woman's name is, went as far as, to suggest in one of her press briefings that social media should identify and target for censorship persons opposed to vaccination, and that social media should universally blacklist them across every platform.
Misinformation. they're already targeting Americans.
I know that. There's 12. 12 in particular the government is targeting on Facebook. My first response after hearing that, of course, was to burp up some of my beer and blurt out loud, "Looks like Tail Gunner Joe is back." That is, of course, a reference to Senator Joe McCarthy, whose reign of terror against Hollywood when hunting for communist sympathizers in America was in its heyday, engaged in heavy-handed blacklisting that eventually brought him into disgrace. Unlike his predecessor, former President Donald Trump, Biden and his team seem not to have mastered the intricate art form of managing opinion and emotion on the internet as a dynamic battle space of ideas in the same way that the previous administration was famous for manipulating it. The key thing that Trump knew that Biden seems not to honor is that the internet is an open market for ideas. All ideas, good and bad, compete with each other on a level playing field. This is hyper-democracy, where you not only have to be aware of the message you are putting out, you also have to be keenly aware of every message opposing yours and have a strategy for how you will prevail in the battle of rhetoric that ensues on a neutral platform environment like social media. It is not like the highly charged messaging and influencing battleground that lies at the heart of technology that allows everyone to be equal and everyone else when they speak has changed. There are still people with fanatical beliefs and outrageous strategies filled with subterfuge to exploit traffic trends and metadata in the wild country of virtual space. Indeed, due to the efforts of academics and politicians to constrain social media and platforms from curating their content as publishers, social media platforms and news outlets have gone out of their way to deliberately tribalize their services so that people only see the echo chambers that make them comfortable, quiet, and safer. One of the consequences of this is that people now gather online in smaller groups that form independent opinions that are unshakable, regardless of what else is going on in the real world. That's what we wanted, right? Well, that's what we've got. And it just turns out that some of those isolated groups are people that do not want to pay attention to either science or government. They happen to be younger. They happen not to like vaccines. They happen to not trust authority created by elders that they think have blown it. And they are nearly impossible to communicate with as they circulate inside their now very closed-minded echo chambers. The bottom line is science means little without trust. The science that vaccines do work for the strains of COVID vaccine for which they were initially designed is not intuitively understood by many Americans. It's surrounded by myths that range from its magical superpowers to its side effects that turn you into a newt. The rational science that the first run of vaccines was so narrowly specific that they don't work for mutations that fall outside the target bin of the initial round of medication isn't that hard to understand if explained plainly. The vaccine can stop the main threat, and then we need to work on the flanks. Viruses do not have as much right to survive as we do, and nature does equip them with their own tools to survive called mutations. But we want to win. Combating a pandemic is not a one-shot stop. That only happens in movies. The real world doesn't work like that. Fighting a pandemic is using a comb that needs to be is more like using a comb that needs to be stroked repetitively to eventually straighten things out. The science that all medicines have side effects and dangers isn't new either. Every pharmaceutical on the market comes with warnings about and hundreds of search engine results about how people have both been helped and hurt by them. It's dangerous stuff, and everyone takes a calculated risk every time we swallow an aspirin or have messenger RNA injected into our bloodstream. What public policymakers fail to appreciate is that ultimately the decision on how to interact with science is the right of the individual to make. Stop fumbling the ball. None of the science will make any difference as long as the administration pursues a bumbling public policy that fails to gain enough trust to influence the opinion of American people on the internet. Trust can only be gained by earning people's trust. True that trust has worked with good portion of the American people. But these were the trusting folk anyway. It clearly hasn't worked universally across the entire population. And there is hard truth of it. The virus does not care about our political comfort zones. It just wants to survive in its host reservoir. And our hubris and distrust of each other, amplified by an inability to use the internet effectively, means that the virus will have a reservoir in the U.S. And no, Mr. President, 18-year-old TikTok sensation Olivia Rodrigo won't be enough to change things. It is a start in the right direction, though. I'd keep that up, sir. Just get beyond tokenism as quickly as you can. Time is not on our side. Domestically, Biden's larger problem is that instead of organizing an effective messaging campaign to inform the American people inside their echo chamber safe spaces in a way that helps skeptical individuals make better informed decisions, this administration, in its frustration, tried to take the heavy-handed approach of telling detractors to shut up, and if they don't shut up, engaging in attempts to blacklist them. So now we have a political backlash problem on top of everything else, and I notice that the media is quick to jump on it in both accusatory and apologetic forms, depending on which cheek they are accustomed to kissing. Honestly, that is ridiculous. Human nature is predictable. The only thing that such heavy-handed government action ever accomplishes by attempting to silence people standing on their soapboxes is legitimizing whatever opinion they espouse, even if that opinion is idiotic. The government in this case is proving to the people in their echo chambers that they need to hold even harder to their beliefs. My call? Sloppy workmanship. That won't do. This country can do better. Here is my constructive criticism. Now, with all this being said, I will have to mention that this is an opinion piece, and normally I don't really do opinion pieces because I write them myself, and opinion pieces are just that. They're opinions.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily something to inform you. And I like to have articles that more or less inform you or have, you know, data or something like that. And all this is just this guy's opinion. You know how they say that meme, that's just like your opinion, man? Well, that's like this guy's opinion, man. So, like, if you don't agree with it, and I find that I don't agree with everything he's got to say here, that's fair, because it is just an opinion piece. I write opinion pieces. I don't expect everybody to agree with all my opinions either.
I think it's a mix of, really, they're not giving you the science behind it. They're giving their idea of what's happening. And it's coming from people that aren't very credible as being trustworthy in the first place.
Well, he just says at the end here, what President Biden needs to do is call his staff in the White House and very sternly tell them, you people have done a lousy job of finding ways to communicate to people who are sheltering in place. Yes, sheltering with their own minds. You are not talking to them, you are talking around them. They have no reason to believe us, and that is our fault. We don't know how to use this technology properly. That deficiency is not the company's fault, it's yours. You need to stop being elites, talking down to people from afar, and learn how to communicate with ordinary people so that they trust you. Reach across the aisle if you have to achieve that trust, but solve that problem already. If you cannot do that, you are not serving this country properly. Now get to work. Will he do that? I don't know.
He's coherent enough to do that.
Oh, yeah. We seem to be muddling through a lot of things right now. At least I have my echo chamber and my woobie. Don't get me wrong, I'm still an American. I will help in any way I can. It's my civic duty, yours too. Now, it's very important that I mention this guy. His name is Dennis Santiago. He is an author and commentator on national policy and global stability issues. His subject matter expertise was developed during the Cold War as a strategic warfare systems analyst, missile defense architect, and arms control analyst. He is the author of U.S. Imperfect Defense Theory of Strategic Missile Defense. He has worked on conventional warfare, nuclear warfare, and asymmetric warfare. His expertise includes combat aircraft, ordnance, electronic warfare, command and control, campaign design, and game theory. I wonder if that's the same game theory that the PUAs use when they're trying to track women. Like, that's just some one thing he actually learned. He's like, in this exercise, we're going to teach you the most important thing that a man needs to know in the military. How to understand the human female. Like, I can see the sergeant over there with a board. It's like, this is the human female. This is the hypergamy. Like, could you imagine that that's the kind of game theory? Like, I actually feel like sending this guy an email. When you said game theory, did you mean this? Just to see what his response would be. That would be absolutely crazy. He's like, well, I know a little bit of that as well. Like, that would crack me up if he said, yeah, I actually know a little bit of that as well. It's like the PUAs are teaching him. And of course, we've already talked about Biden's town hall speech. And you probably know this because you've been watching Louder with Crowder. This is different. This is an article that was posted on Louder with Crowder.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with Joe Biden.
Well, I was saying, Crowder had surgery. So he's been
everybody's got surgery. Every damn mechanic we've talked to has had surgery. The guy that we normally take to fix the car, he just had surgery.
Yeah.
And then we called the guy on Meineke, And he said, well, I'm not going to be able to work till August 1st because I just had surgery. Like, what, you two? I didn't say that to the man, but yeah. I wanted to. Okay, Florida man was playing video games when someone broke into his house, so he powered up the Second Amendment. Having to pause your game can be annoying. Doesn't matter if it's because your girlfriend or your mother is nagging you. You can't hold it anymore after 7 hours of energy drinks and pizza rolls. Or in the case of one Florida man, people breaking into your home. Unfortunately for the armed intruders, the incident turned into a live-action Borderlands 2. Because my man here was a gun owner, and 2 out of the 3 intruders are no longer with us. Honestly, it's never smart to break into someone's home, but it takes a special kind of idiot to do it in Florida. Sheriffs in the Sunshine State lately have made it clear they don't give a fuck. See, Polk County Sheriff issues warning to rioters. Citizens will blow you back with their guns. And Black Sheriff warns rioters and protesters, the citizens are armed and I have their backs. This is how the Second Amendment works. Yes, ideally, you'd want the police to take care of things before leftists have them defunded. That's not always an option. Like, for instance, when armed intruders are already in your home when you're trying to play Super Smash Brothers, it's either you or them. Make sure it's them. What I want to know is immediately after letting the intruders know this was a bad day for them, did he sit right back down and unpause his game? Because that would be pretty badass if he did. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, I think he's looking at
like himself. You're shooting zombies all of a sudden. You're like, oh, okay, here's some real zombies. Boom, boom, headshot, headshot. And you just let the bodies fall.
Yeah, you're
like
the
bodies
yeah.
fall. And like, and then you just, I mean, and everybody's like, what did you just do? Can you leave me alone? I'm playing. It's like, yeah, what if somebody literally got so in the zone that their brain just like, they thought they were just killing zombies or monsters. And then the police are like, It's like
schizophrenia.
Yeah, that would happen. That could actually happen. Like, that's crazy. Okay, again with the Ben and Jerry's thing. I gathered that. I'm not really that interested in Ben and Jerry's in Israel. I'm going to continue to support them because I do like Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
I
mean, biblically, it says those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed.
Right.
Because they're God's chosen people. You know, that's...
Well, you know, Israel and Palestinian thing.
You know, I know a lot of black people argue, yeah. Jesus was black. He was Jewish. He looked Middle Eastern.
Yeah, he did. Okay, I guess we've got one more, and that's it. This is from SF Gate. I don't know how old this is, but... Let's see. No, it's pretty new. San Francisco Bay Area restaurants are struggling. Returning customers don't see that. Okay, I'm making sure this isn't a million... Okay, at Veneso's Bistro in Berkeley, owner V. Nguyen recently encountered a customer who stood in her kitchen doorway to yell at her after a server made a simple mistake. Not talk, yell, Nguyen emphasized, sounding increasingly exasperated as she told the story. This was the beginning of the reopening and we had a lot of takeout orders. Her husband stood at the doorway and was like, she's hungry, she needs her food right now. This wasn't an insulated incident.
I wonder if she's a hefty girl.
Yeah, she needs her food right now!
Back the truck up, open her mouth, and pour it in.
This wasn't an isolated incident for Nguyen. Since California's June 15th reopening of the economy, customers have gotten a little difficult. Well, a lot difficult. Nguyen said it's gotten so bad, she's even had to 86 some regulars. Which is a restaurant slang for banning or throwing them out. One gentleman yelled at my server, I don't understand why you guys don't have more tables out here. Because they didn't want to wait for the table. They were just super rude, said Nguyen. Where exactly do you want me to put all these extra tables? In the road where the cars drive? You know what? I would be that asshole.
I mean, yeah.
I would be that asshole. In the middle of the street? You said you wanted more tables. I've got a table right here.
I mean,
now, it's your choice.
That's a
maybe the cars will drive around you. Maybe they'll see you and they'll drive around you. But at least you'll get a seat.
Yeah.
When the customer attempted the return to Vanessa's Bistro soon after, she asked him to leave. People were already nice prior to people who were already nice prior to the pandemic are super nice, and people who were a little bit difficult to deal with pre-pandemic are now completely just unbearable to even serve, she said. Nguyen isn't the only restaurant owner to notice a change in customers' behavior post-reopening. I've been seeing a huge rise in people just forgetting to be human, said Mina Mikram, founder of Palo Alto Bakery Misfits Bakehouse. That was a long fucking name. People have been staying at home for a year and a half, but everyone in the service industry has just been busting our butts, and this is what we're getting now. Macron told the story of one customer who ordered a bread pickup the Friday before Memorial Day, never showed up, and then made a scene when she arrived the following Wednesday to find her order was no longer available. When he wouldn't give her the refund she demanded, she left a one-star Yelp review. And of course, they're giving me ads. This is one thing I do not like. They're giving me ads. Hold on just a second, folks. Okay. Then she filed a fraudulent claim with her bank, said Macram. The bank withdrew the amount from the order from us, but also fined us $15. She stole from the bakery, as far as I can see. It may feel to the customers that the pandemic is over and restaurants should be completely back to normal, ready to greet them with a swift service and smile, but in reality, many restaurants are still feeling the effects of the global crisis. From food shortages and rising prices of everything from chicken to-go boxes to the well-documented worker shortage, although some restaurant workers fed up with low pay and inhospitable working conditions consider the issue more of a wage shortage. To the lingering economic and emotional toll of the past 16 months, restaurants are still facing a whole smorgasbord of unique challenges. People just expect everything to be perfect, as if we weren't dealing with a labor shortage, dealing with new systems that were put into place during the pandemic, having to juggle managing takeout flow, an unpredictable service, and an all-new front-of-house staff. The list is just endless, said Sergio Emilio Manlian. I don't know, that guy has a weird name. Co-owner of La Marcha Tapas Bar in Berkeley. Judging all of these obstacles means, understandably, that some restaurants may have slower or less consistent service right now. Monleon, I'm going to call him that, explained that many of his new front-of-house staff don't have previous service experience, and some are too young to be able to taste their wine selection, so they might not be as knowledgeable as some customers are demanding. And due to food shortages, restaurants are also more likely to run out of certain items. Basically, every supply chain and every supplier is pretty gunked up right now, said Danny Stoller, co-owner of Square Pie Guys, a Detroit-style pizza restaurant with locations in San Francisco and Oakland. We've had serious issues with chicken. And we've had a period of time where our custom takeout boxes just never showed up. So we ended up having to pivot really quickly. These food shortages are often subject to customer complaints and sometimes even a negative Yelp review. Somebody went to Yelp over an item that we ran out of at 8 o'clock on Saturday and she canceled her entire order, said Malayan. It was like 10 or 15 items we were already making. Yeah. Square Pie Guys also received some negative Yelp reviews of late. While their Yelp pages received a high enough volume of ratings that the occasional bad review won't tank their overall rating, for a newer, lesser-known restaurant, one-star reviews can be devastating. We got a Yelp review saying, "Hey, I tried to order a few minutes before your closing time and you stopped taking orders," said co-owner Mark Schechter, who explained their website automatically stops accepting orders 30 minutes before closing. Why is that a bad Yelp review? Can there be some trust? Of course we don't want to turn orders down. It's not personal. Stoller pointed out that the restaurant industry is at an inflection point or a major reckoning, he said, and said that restaurant goers have a role to play in that shift. We're all in it together, said Stoller, and there's not a single person in any industry that's actively trying to screw anyone over, provide poor service, or just be a bad owner. Before lashing out at restaurant workers, Nguyen wishes customers would be a little more understanding of the difficulties they are facing in the industry at the moment. I didn't pay rent for 8 months, you know, so I could take out a cash advance so that I could keep up with payroll so that my staff could stay employed, she said. Just be more understanding, more kind, and more patient. I think patience is key. So they're having a hard time in San Francisco with all these fucking restaurants now in California, yeah. And people acting like assholes.
Yeah.
Even worse than ever.
What a feel like you'd get when you went to San Francisco. Of course, I don't know the people. They could be great people. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where we're going to end it. I'll do another show tomorrow where I'm going to take more tech and robot and kind of stuff like that. Because there's a lot of articles that have just come out about that. Yeah. And I'll cover that stuff later. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a lot of upkeep today. And, you know, it's one of those things. A lot of things happen. I'm still dealing with shit. There's a lot of other people dealing with shit. It's just a shitty end of July for most people, and hopefully things will get better. And this will be the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. We thank you for joining us, and we are out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.